Live, on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, down in Madison at the worldwide headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, it is Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024. Pump day. There we go. See, we take the camel on the road with us, no matter where we go. We are here at the Davie Center on location at the beautiful University of Wisconsin Eau Claire campus, and we are joined by our co-host for the week. Far Hughes joins us on Wednesdays. He is here from Washington, D.C. all week. He is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, unlike myself, a Blue Gold alum. Yes, I was a pioneer, a Platteville pioneer, and I have two Blue Golds here on the panel. Not only Trigvy Olson, but we are joined by our special guest this hour. He is the superintendent of the Eau Claire School District Public Schools, Mike Johnson. Superintendent Johnson, thanks for being here and sticking around for hour number two.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
It's great to have you along, because Trigvy and I are going around this week. We're here in Eau Claire. And by the way, if you're in the Eau Claire area or want to stop down tonight to Water Street in downtown Eau Claire, Dooley's Pub and Grill from 6 until 7:30 tonight. We are going to buy you your first round of beer or soda and some cheese curds. Stop on down. It's open to the public. Meet Trigvy, myself, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Civic Media as well, and a cast of characters. We'll leave it at that. So 6 until 7:30, Dooley's downtown Eau Claire. And then tomorrow, Trigvy, we're back on the road and going to be over in Stevens Point at the beautiful Stevens Point campus. Yep. Tomorrow, and then on Wednesday in Green Bay.
Friday in Green Bay.
What did I say? I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's been a long week already.
Honestly, you know, so this is, I think listeners will laugh about this. You know, long ago when Todd and I were starting out in politics, one of my jobs was riding around the state with a guy, Scott McCallum, who eventually became governor. And literally, it was awesome because I got to see everywhere in the state. Mm-hmm. But now, you and I, we've been on the road for 3 days, and I never got exhausted when I was working for McCallum. 3 days, I'm like ready for bed already.
We're a bit older.
We're not as good as we once were, that I'm certain. I'll tell you though, somebody who still looks like he could go running out on the court is Mike here. So yeah. Mike was a star when I was in college on the basketball team, but I knew him as the guy who was also studying English. But Mike and I have been friends ever since. But one of the things that I wanted to ask Mike about is, and Mike and I have had some conversations, you know, you became chancellor here. You worked your way up in education. You were at River Falls. Were really good to my mom. My mom was a teacher there. My mom was a huge fan of Mike when he was at River Falls. Talk a little bit about the challenges that public education faces today, and talk a little bit about, you know, I believe public education is one of the things that makes Wisconsin great. Talk a little bit about that.
No, absolutely. It does make Wisconsin great. I'm a product of the public schools in Wisconsin. I grew up in a small town, Phillips, Wisconsin, up north. Mm-hmm. And yes, came here to Eau Claire, and our experience at UW Eau Claire was fantastic, and the foundation that we had in the School of Ed prepared me very well. I was a teacher for 10 years in West Central Wisconsin. In the past 20 years, I've been an administrator, whether it be an assistant principal, where I obviously got to meet Trigvy's mom and so many others in River Falls, a middle school principal, a director of academic services. So that was about 11 years, and I went across the river to be an assistant superintendent over in Woodbury for 6, and then this is my fourth year at Eau Claire, and it's great to come back and to lead a district and to get to see the amazing work that people do day in and day out, and get to experience that sometimes with kids. That's the best part of the job. But, you know, how things have changed, just even in my administrative career. Mm-hmm. You know, the mandates, I think, on our staff, not just administrators, but teachers, and the financial piece. And because of, you know, yesterday with Election Day and the February elections, and we're not even counting in Wisconsin in November with various referenda questions that will be developed before that time. But, you know, close to 100 out of the 421 school districts in the state have already gone to referendum.
Yeah.
And whether it's for capital or operational, but as many folks know, it's the ESSER funding. It's, you know, the federal funding that exhausts September 30th of 2024. And, you know, that's what I hear from, you know, our CESA District 10. You know, we've got 30 to 40 superintendents and districts that are involved and in West Central Wisconsin. You know, those are the keys for us, is that financial piece. And the mandates, and the mandates, especially when they are unfunded or underfunded, you know, it keys right into the financial as well. And that's a major stressor for administrators. You know, we got a shortage of administrators in the state, as well as with teachers. You know, it's dwindling. Even at a place here like UW-Eau Claire, tremendous school of education, but that's what we know. I think those two critical things. When I started 20 years ago in River Falls, Trigvi, I guess maybe as an assistant principal, I was too busy with attendance and discipline and the parking lot.
Probably a lot of them sent by my mom. Down.
Yeah, probably. probably. What? No, your mom kept, you know, in that
she
English
kept
class.
Good order.
Very good order. You weren't messing around in ML's class.
No, talk to, if you would, please. We're talking with Mike Johnson. He's the superintendent of Eau Claire Public Schools here. For those who might be watching or listening around the country, Eau Claire is in northwestern Wisconsin. What, an hour and a half from the Twin Cities? Give people reference, more or less. Population here, 10,000-ish? Is that where we're at?
Eau Claire?
Yeah. Was bigger
40,
than
50,000.
Oh, is it really? City, probably closer to 70.
Oh, 70, yeah. Total. Well, that shows up as I know. See, my sister and brother-in-law been here for 25 years. I just drive down to Claremont and turn right. That's, you know, that's all I know. But for people that might be listening,
God, I think it's the fifth largest city in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, it's been a long week, as you said. I need more Mountain Dew. But the point here is not Todd. It's Superintendent Johnson telling people around the country and around Wisconsin the challenges that you all face in public education. You talked about these referendums last night. Many, like in the Milwaukee public school system, that was the big one. That was successful. I know in Southwest Wisconsin, there were several that passed. There were a couple that did not. But again, school districts across Wisconsin are having to go to referendum for operation, not to build anything necessarily, but just to maintain the daily operations. Some of them are buildings, yes, but a lot are just daily operational things. And talk, if you would, please, Superintendent, about this and about the fact that we have $4 billion of state taxpayer money in our state coffers in Madison, and we don't have a legislature that wants to fund higher public education the way that it's supposed to. And to finish up, I'll finally let you talk. Trigvi worked for former Governor Tommy Thompson, and whether you agreed with all of what he did policy-wise or not, it was Tommy who said we're going to take off part of this, and the state's going to pay for 2/3 of public education. That's not being maintained anymore, and taxpayers are having to make up the difference.
It is, and it really puts students in a very vulnerable position. Ultimately, that's why we got into this. We went in students first. I like to say students first, staff second, and my own well-being third.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when I started in education back in 1993, you know, 30 years ago, that was the beginning of the QEO.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a young teacher and coach, you don't really understand that. I was just happy to have a job, happy to be working with students, and you know, English was a passion, and you know, for those 10 years, you really weren't aware of that as much. But, you know, as things had gone through, and being an administrator and looking at the bottom line, the financial piece, and especially with exhausting the ESSER funds, you know, the 2 years, the previous biennial budget, Wisconsin was one of very few states that just said, you know, we're not going to give any extra funding. You've got your ESSER money. So do with it what you may, and you know, we'll come back this past summer. Well, you know, those operations are critical, especially coming out of a pandemic. And you know, we utilized a majority of our ESSER funds because that's what our community wanted.
And not to interrupt, but explain what ESSER funds are for those that might not be in public education.
ESSER III funding was the federal act to provide funding toward our public schools and other entities. But our last round of ESSER funding, ESSER III, was in here in Eau Claire, was $12.8 million. So over the past 2 years, we were able to utilize that funding. Right now, we've been, you know, coming out of the pandemic, and not just the academic loss that we've experienced, but social and emotional and behavioral. It was very obvious, especially with our elementary students. We didn't have some of those supports anyway before the pandemic. Academic interventionists, behavioral interventionists, and we've got 20 schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's mission critical. Our special education needs are rising as well. Well, when you add those special education needs, and when the state provides one-third reimbursement for those rates, mm-hmm. that's a problem. And with money that's in the state's coffers right now, and that's not being released to be able to assist with that, in our district alone in Eau Claire, if we were to go to it right now, we're at one-third of our special education funding. I think there was an early proposal from Governor Evers in June of this past summer to go to 60%. Mm-hmm. If we were able to do that, if that would have occurred for us, just to go to 60%, that would be an extra $7 million just for Eau Claire.
Wow.
And again, the money's there. Those are our most vulnerable learners. Why don't we help them out? Because according to, you know, with what legislature has decided in the past, you know, our private school counterparts, those students are reimbursed at 90%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, one of the things, Mike, I think when, and for people listening in other places outside of Wisconsin, you know, back in 93, Mike alluded to when he was starting out, I was working in the state capitol and with Tommy Thompson World. And the idea of putting the caps on and agreeing to cover two-thirds, the caps were set based on what kind of, how big the schools were. And it was really an attempt to try and address both sides, compromise. One of the things that's happened, though, and you and I both know this from River Falls, you have all these districts that have changed since, places in the state that have changed since 93. And that's part of the problem, too, is you have places that weren't suburbs that are now suburbs. You have places that have gotten smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's ultimately the unwillingness for both sides to address those changes is part of the problem.
Come back and talk to that about that with Mike Johnson, Eau Claire Public Schools Superintendent, Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. I'm Todd. Sommers is in Madison. Stay tuned. More live from the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire campus, the Davies Center, on a Wednesday on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are pursuing it here in Northwest Wisconsin. It is What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, beer, cheese, and radio. And we'll add public education as well.
What? The fact that beer, cheese, and in the state of Wisconsin, that's not pursuing truth. That just is fact. Not alternative fact. That's just the truth.
That's just the truth.
And that UW-Eau Claire rocks, yeah. That also is 100% true.
It's a beautiful campus. You're an alum. Great to have.
It's beautiful. It has beautiful farmers.
And also, the Eau Claire Public School Superintendent, Mike Johnson, is also an alum of University of Wisconsin. Eau Claire, great to have you both here. Gentlemen, we're talking about public education. Trigvi, go ahead. He's doing something else there. But kind of pick up, if you would, Mike, a little bit what Trigvi was saying before the break there and how this affects public schools.
Sure. And those decisions were made close to 30 years ago. And you know, I was mentioning to Trigvi before, he had graduated before I had from college. But, mm-hmm. you know, when the local school districts and boards of education, you know, set that levy to the taxpayer, you know, in Eau Claire back in the early 90s, we suffered through losing Uniroyal. Yeah. Hundreds of jobs lost in the area, and at that time, you know, the district chose not to to levy to the max, so to speak, mm-hmm. and you know, because they cared about the community and they knew that the community was hurting. Again, you know, these revenue limits, the funding formula, supposed to be probably a 3 to 5 year deal. Well, now it's 30 years past, and we're still, you know, it's those unintended consequences of that decision where our board of ed, our district cared about the community not to levy to the maximum because people were hurting and, you know, economically, financially. And, you know, that's when those revenue limits were set, and that's what we're living with 30 years later. And that's not to even talk about the inflationary increases over the past 15 years that we've endured. But like Trigvi had mentioned, with River Falls and schools that were, you know, very fiscally responsible way back in 91, 92, 93-ish, just like Eau Claire, we were low revenue districts and still experience that to this day.
And I would add, Todd, you know, like with River Falls, I don't know about Eau Claire, but with River Falls, you have Hudson right next to River Falls. They're now both suburbs of the Twin Cities. But Hudson was put in at a higher level to begin with. And you literally have kids who are living in districts that are all part of the same community, where on one side, the amount of revenue available is substantially higher than it is for the kids who are next. It's really not fair. In fairness, though, and I don't want to sound like I'm defending Tommy here. We got to have him on sometime to defend himself. But, you know, we get calls from people who bring this issue up. Well, a lot of this, there was a belief, and I worked on this, that eventually that within 5 years, you know, the legislature and the governor would go back and adjust. We're now 30 years in, and instead of adjusting, both sides, one side uses it because for a political agenda, and the other side is complaining about what was done 30 years ago when it really needed to be addressed. Neither of them are taking responsibility to address it, and who's hurting? Students. Yeah. And who are having to deal with the consequences? The people who run for the school boards and people like Mike. And that... They're damaging, again, something that makes Wisconsin great. And voters in Wisconsin need to understand the challenges that people like Mike and school board chairs and the students are facing, and they need to be demanding of their politicians address this. That's the whole essence of public service.
I want to talk a little bit about something that, kind of to your point there, Trigvi, that sometimes good ideas get out of control. And people don't bring them back in. I mean, we're getting here to spring eventually after some of the snow melts across Wisconsin. And people, you'll plant something in their garden, maybe a phlox or whatever. Well, I'll put up a phlox over there. And pretty soon it just takes over and it's out of control. I think it's been the same way with some of these things in public education, looking at private schools and charter schools and school choice, which may in certain instances in Milwaukee have been a good idea at one point. It has just become what we have created, in my opinion, Mike Johnson. I want to see what you say. When my former boss, Dale Schultz, voted against Act 10, was only state senator to do so back in 2011, and it passed, he said, what we have done is created a two-tier public education system here, or a two-tier education system, quite frankly. And now, you know, fast forward over 10 years, I think we're seeing that. Talk about the challenge. The public school has to take every kid. You don't get to select what kids you take. Private schools, it's totally up to them. The mandates are totally, not totally, but very different. Talk about these differences between public schools and private schools and the challenges you face as a public school administrator.
Sure, it's a challenge. I do want to acknowledge first, though, that in our community in Eau Claire, we've got a fantastic private school system with the case system and feeding into Eau Claire Regis and, you know, just a wonderful choice for people to experience. And I have many friends that were Regis grads. Mm-hmm. But that's correct as an administrator. And I want them all. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of being a public educator is I want them all. I want each child, no matter where they are, on their learning journey, no matter what their behaviors, we serve them all, and we want to do that. We're doggone proud to do that. Mm-hmm. The key is, you know, those different sets of rules when it comes to funding. Regis system, they do a tremendous job. The McDonald system in Chippewa Falls do a tremendous job. Again, wonderful people, but it's the funding formula, it's the funding rules with special education, those types of things, really, with increased mandates and other financial hardships that we do have in public K-12. That, you know, that's the crux of it. And yeah. Friday, you know, we'll have a CISA 10 superintendents meeting, and we'll have our local legislators there. They show up at least once a year, and we have a great conversation with them. And we're very appreciative of that time. But we will be sharing these types of matters, and not to have five, six, seven, eight of them. But it comes down to the mandates, and special education funding is critical for us because it's grown over the past 2 to 3 years, especially coming out of the pandemic.
What have we not asked you so far in the 2.5 minutes or so we have left that you would like to share about public education or about the Eau Claire Public Schools?
Gosh, we could sit here till 4 o'clock or when you guys hit Dooley's.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, it's great to be here at Eau Claire talking about not just a little bit about the campus and our experience here, but to talk about my school. Mm-hmm. I still talk about I'm going to school.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 54. I've been in this gig for over 30 years, and yep, going to school. I'm not going to the office. I'm not, but I was able to visit two schools today. It's just fun to interact with kids and watch teachers do their magic, and our staff, our fantastic staff, working with students. But it's a challenging time. But you know, we rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. Another piece of this is just educators in general. You know, it's a dwindling workforce, and I think the past 4 to 5 years with the pandemic and let's say some social issues and political issues, you know, teachers just, you know, we get them, yeah. But they're not as many. And in here in a college town in a great school of ed, you know, before there might have been a high school English position, Trigvi, that would attract 20 to 30 years ago, 300 applicants at Eau Claire Memorial or Eau Claire North. Now, dozen, yeah. 15. We got to have people support our public schools and education here in Wisconsin.
Public education, one of the things that make Wisconsin great, Eau Claire Public Schools in particular. Superintendent Mike Johnson, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate everything you do. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live from the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. The Davies Center, to be exact. Mr. Zommers dialing up a little local music. The Bodines, Mr. Zommers. How about that?
Yep, Fade Away by the Bodines. Previously, we played Closer to Free. Yesterday, I think we did Good Things. But anyway, yeah, you know, you got to get some music from Wisconsin bands in there when we're talking about what makes Wisconsin great.
Right. Wisconsin music makes Wisconsin great. Wisconsin bands, the Bodines in particular. Of course, we're here in Eau Claire, the home of Bon Iver, of musical fame, and done a lot, by the way, to get back to the local community here in Eau Claire. And they've just built, not too long ago, the beautiful Pablo Center. So, I mean, it's not just education, but things are popping up here in Eau Claire. I'm joined all week, as we have been previously, by our co-host and friend, Trigvi Olson. He is now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. How about Mike Johnson? I can see why you guys are friends. The superintendent of public schools up here, super impressive guy.
Yeah, just fantastic. And I thought, you know, when I talked to Mike and I got together a while back when I was here, and I just said, would you be interested? I'm on this guy's Todd Albaugh show, and
this goofball.
I'm on every Wednesday, but you should really go on and talk about these things with Todd, because we were talking about some of the challenges. And you know, that's one of the things great about Wisconsin too. Maybe this is true of other places, but you know, Mike and I met in an English class, a literature class. I don't know, he's a year younger than I was, but like we met, you know, one of the first. You know, early on, and we have just stayed friends through life. And you know, periodically I'll call him up and be like, what's going on with schools? And he'll call me up and be like, you know, I have this political thing, got any thoughts? So what he did not say is, you know, his son just signed a scholarship. His son is going to be playing tight end at the University of Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah, he's that?
the real deal. See,
yeah, he might be the next George Kittle or Sam Laporta or
You never know.
You never know.
Well, it's part of what makes Wisconsin great: friendships, relationships. Yeah. I want to get to a little.
There are people you know you can count on.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to get to a little other news of yesterday. Going to start off with something fantastic. Now, I've been a fan of Bob Uecker for a heck of a long time. Been calling the games for what, 50 years now. And Uecker called a game yesterday. He's going to said he's going to do this periodically. Not going to be a regular thing anymore. He's 90 years old, for goodness sake. But we have this clip. Here's Bob Uecker doing the pregame show with new manager Pat Murphy. They're just sitting on the couch. He's got a phone. He's recorded himself. There's no staff. It's just his 90-year-old Bob Uecker getting it done. I want you to listen to it. If I can still be broadcasting a third that good at 90, I'll be shocked. But here's Bob Uecker and Pat Murphy from yesterday's Brewers pregame show.
In 3, 2, 1. Back with you once again from American Family Field. It's the Brewers and the Minnesota Twins, and for Pat Murphy, game number one in front of the home crowd. And Patrick, good start to a new season, and your first, we all know that, but a sweep in New York was big for you.
Well, I'm proud of our guys. They played well, they played aggressive.
There it goes on from there. But I wanted to play you just that little clip because there he is. He's just in his jeans and his coat. He's got his iPhone. He's doing the somebody shot this of Uecker doing it. But I mean, it rolls off the tongue. There's no notes. There's nobody telling what to do. It's just ingrained in him. And by the way, I know it stings a little bit tricky because the Brewers are still undefeated. They beat your Minnesota Twins yesterday in the home opener at AmFam Field. But I mean, Bob Uecker is iconic, and he's part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think Wayne Larrabee, too.
Yeah.
But Bob Uecker, giant, you know, and he's been at the top of the game for a long, long time. It would be a sad day when Bob Uecker is no longer doing Brewers games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I say that as a Twins fan, but it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally true.
And just the fact he's still going to – I'm glad he didn't just say, I'm done. He's still going to come back and do games what he can periodically throughout the season. So we'll hear a little bit more of you.
You know, one of the things I think that makes Wisconsin great, honestly, is the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, like, for the most part. I mean, I make fun of the Minnesota people, and I would certainly never want to live there. But, you got the whole, when you get in southern part of the state, the flatlands and Iowa idiots out walking around. But the reality is, you know, Wisconsin has a lot of good neighborly rivalries and friendly rivalries. But what's also cool is, I mean, we had Chancellor Jim on, right? You want to know something that's great about Wisconsin? Like, the people who are in Minnesota want to come here and work for the UW system and end up being that good at their job. Like, that's a guy who's good at his job.
Fantastic.
And Mike, too.
Like, yeah, they both are. Really, really appreciate both of them.
That's part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Yeah. Taking your phone calls as well on what makes Wisconsin great, but some of the news of yesterday. If you want to call in, Mr. Zomers will answer the phone calls and we'll put you on the air. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Trigby, get to some of the news yesterday that we kind of put off because of our special guests. We're happy to do so. But some pretty big news here in Wisconsin. First of all, the two statewide referendums regarding elections passed yesterday. Maybe a little bit of a surprise, but a lot was made of it. But, they passed and we have to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it was expected or unexpected. I mean, when you're doing referendums, right, like they write the referendums in a way that it becomes pretty easy for them to either pass or fail. I don't know that in the end of the day that that's as big a news. I think what transpired in the mayor's race in Wausau, the amount of outside money that came in late into that race. Now, that was not something that was on my radar screen, but I ended up last night going down the rabbit hole of reading. Like, that is a big deal. I think what happened in Green Bay, quite frankly, with the Democrat actually winning and they now control the city council in Green Bay is a big deal. There were a lot of mixed signs.
Yeah.
A lot of mixed signs. I think, honestly, and I just sent the clip to Zomers, and I don't know if you want to talk about it now or we talk about it in the next segment, but what Donald Trump said about the people of Wisconsin and what his election denial stuff after everything that's gone on here, that might be the biggest news of the day because he insulted the honesty and integrity of the of the state of Wisconsin.
Let's get to that, Mr. Zomers, if you got it queued up in just a second. Are you wait for that, but I want to finish up, first of all, what Trevi said. I agree. Look, it's my opinion. It's one guy. I've had Mayor Rosenberg from Wausau on this program. I know Chad Holmes of Bull Falls Radio. She has been a regular guest on his program up there. I think that she's everything that you want in an elected official. Take out partisan politics. I mean, she's young. She's enthusiastic. She's a cheerleader. And what I think what happened up there in Wausau is an example, as you said, Trigby, of a lot of outside money coming in and spreading untruths, outright lies. And I think that people were duped into voting against their best interests.
Yeah, I also think, you know, Democrats will learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. Like Ben Winkler's a smart guy. He's going to learn from it. I think they need to be more aware that that is going to happen. There were some school board races around the state where outside money came in late too, you know. Yeah. And one of the challenges that you have when you're running campaigns at sort of that bigger macro level is you need to be cognizant that the other side, particularly Republicans and conservative groups, have a tendency to do this. That Democrats and the left are going to have to be more cognizant of when they have moderate stars in places that conservatives think are their turf, that outside money is going to come in, because what they don't want is what, you know, people like Tommy Thompson and John Engler and others, Gretchen Whitmer, is doing in the state of Michigan, is building majorities by taking pieces away. Conservatives are really good at protecting that, particularly in the state of Wisconsin. I think there's going to have to be more awareness, because she was a rising star.
Yeah,
and
she still could be in the future.
It could be, but it, you know,
it's a setback for her personally.
It's a setback for her personally, and quite frankly, I think it's a setback for Democrats.
Yeah, Mr. Zomers, you have that clip ready. This is the Trumpster. He was in Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday. I saw a picture from the podium out. I think less than 500 people, by the way, at this thing.
Far fewer people. George tweeted out a tweet that showed Liz Cheney's crowd in Des Moines at the same time. And Liz Cheney packed a stadium.
Right.
I mean, it was nuts. And Trump, not so much.
Not so much. But here is a cut yesterday, Mr. Zomers, the one that Trigvy sent. This is the Trumpster on the podium in Green Bay yesterday.
You know, we won this state. We won this state by a lot. And it came out that we won this state, actually. You know, when you have open borders, think of it.
So, and of course, at the end, he just goes on to something entirely unrelated, because that's what he did the whole time.
Right.
I unfortunately had to watch a lot of his speech yesterday, and it was meandering at best.
Honestly, he's literally so dumb. If you listen to the open borders part, he literally is talking about Canada's border with Wisconsin. There is no freaking border between Canada and Wisconsin.
Thank you for editing yourself. I appreciate that.
I know. Seriously, but like, that is an epic level of stupidity.
Well, and not just stupidity. I mean, he knows the difference, obviously. He's just...
I don't think he knows.
You don't think he knows that?
I think he probably thinks that Wisconsin has a border with Canada.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, but the more important thing is he insults the daylights out of the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
With his, it's just not true. It's blatantly false. It's been proven. Nothing came out. Even Ron Johnson admitted on tape that Donald Trump lost. He admitted on tape.
Andrew Hint, a former chairman of the Republican Party, admitted that Trump lost.
Yeah. And what is he doing? He is literally insulting the people, the honesty and integrity of the people of Wisconsin. Whether you like Trump or not, whether if you are a Republican, he is insulting your intelligence, and he is flat out lying to you, and you know he is lying to you.
Yeah.
And honestly, that in and of itself should tell you that he is not someone you should vote for. Whether you vote for Joe Biden or not, that's another question. It's another choice you have to make. I will. You will. But Donald Trump, that is disqualifying to be the choice.
Come back and talk about it a little bit more, Trigvy. But down in Racine yesterday, some kind of bizarre results. Trump lost in Racine.
To Nikki Haley.
To Nikki Haley. But Joe Biden also got a lot of votes against him with Dean Phillips from Minnesota, dropped out a long time ago.
Did you see the turnout? Joe Hendrick. For those of you who don't follow Joe Hendrick on Twitter, Joe, you and I have both known Joe for a long time. He's in state legislature. He knows more about numbers and voting patterns in the state of Wisconsin. He and Craig Gilbert are literally the two gold standards. You should follow Joe Hendrick on Twitter, at Minocqua, or Joe Minocqua, I think it is. But both of them, if you want to understand, on election nights, follow him. Anyway, well, but Joe pointed out the turnout in Racine was through the roof, too, for April.
So what do you make of this?
I don't know.
Were people upset with Kringle? I mean, were they?
I don't know.
It seemed like an anomaly. This was not across the entire state, but particularly in Racine County.
No, it was a total outlier. Yeah. I mean, in fact, it left Joe baffled on Twitter.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
The
you should have him on to ask.
Well, it'd be great. We'd love to have Joe Hendrick on. Also, the uncommitted last night. Their goal was 20,000. They got 40. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm gonna have to edit myself. It's kind of a bunch of BS because here's the thing, right? Originally, they were talking about a percentage. Then they changed it to a raw vote total. And let's face it, that's a game,
right?
Right. You and I both know that a percentage is a little more fair because it's turnout dependent.
Right.
A raw vote total, particularly one that isn't that high.
Yeah.
Well, we want 20.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, there's expectation setting. And if you set expectations low enough, you're ultimately going to be able to claim you're a success.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By defying.
I'll just be interested to see some of these, particularly elected officials on the progressive Democratic side, who said this was just about sending Joe Biden a message. I'll be very anxious to see if they're going to be on the podium in Madison next week when President Biden comes there and outright endorse him. Because if they don't, that's where I get a little salty, quite frankly.
Well, then they're standing with the man who literally went to Green Bay and lied about the honesty and integrity of the people of Wisconsin, including themselves. And quite frankly, if they don't endorse Joe Biden, then that's who they're supporting, and they're no better than him. And they, too, are insulting the intelligence of the people of Wisconsin.
I couldn't agree more. Back with more of Trigvy. Also, your calls as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Live from Eau Claire, it's the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire campus at the Davies Center. We thank them all so very much for their hospitality, particularly Jake over here. It's been nothing but helpful and a gentleman, and we thank everybody for making our trip up here fantastic. Coming up after the top of the news or after the hour, try that again, Todd, take three. After the news at the top of the hour, more Mountain Dew. You know what I really need, Trigvy? You know what I'm missing?
No.
I'm missing the Culver's. I'm missing my Culver's and that free bacon.
You know what? I have two Red Bulls and a large Starbucks coffee in me already today. But yes, I'm kind of missing the Culver's too. Yeah. Although if I went back to Culver's, I think I'd be getting either the butterfly shrimp.
Yeah.
Right? Because what I've decided, I knew this, but for those who don't know, Culver's is basically a Wisconsin supper club in terms of quicker service, and you don't get beer or old fashions, which is unfortunate. But I would go with the fish fry.
Yeah.
Kind of longing for a fish fry. But here's the good news, Todd. We're in Green Bay on Friday.
Yeah.
And you know what that means?
Packers. Fish fry.
Fish fry.
Yes.
Fish fry. Packers.
Well, both.
Yes, the Packers need to come on.
We're trying. Fingers crossed. Stay tuned at the top of the hour news. It is our friend Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 this afternoon. So stay tuned for that. Trigvy, we are going to be in downtown tonight on Water Street, inviting everybody in the Eau Claire area, the Chippewa Valley, to stop on down to Dooley's Pub.
You know, if the whole Chippewa Valley shows up, we can't buy beer for everyone in the Chippewa
all
Valley.
Gonna show up. I mean, Braden was fantastic last night in lacrosse. I mean, he was a great, it was one of the best bartenders.
Well, in fairness to us, we didn't get a very good turnout last night, but there was 4 inches of snow and freezing rain.
It was terrible.
And the drive up here was not so great. And then, honestly, there is one thing that wasn't so great about Wisconsin, at least on Highway 53 last night from La Crosse to Eau Claire, were the people who were driving 30 miles an hour like it was a snowstorm in Virginia. And let me tell you about snowstorms in Virginia. One, they don't get snowstorms often, but we had this thing called Snowmageddon. I don't know, it was like 2009 or whatever. Uh-huh. They literally advertised on TV for people who had four-wheel drive and who knew how to drive in the snow. And so I volunteered, and I spent my entire time driving to pick up nurses, doctors, and others, taking them to hospitals, bringing them back. And there were all these people who just left their cars in the middle of, like, highways.
Gosh.
Because they couldn't drive in the snow.
Wow.
It was crazy.
That's an
obstacle. But that's the way these people were driving last night, particularly around Osseo. What is wrong with those people?
You were just, well, the problem is they were trying to come in the back door. That's,
no, they were probably from Minnesota.
You have to be careful.
They probably had Minnesota license plates. We just couldn't see them because no one from Wisconsin would drive like that.
Well, and it's fine. You can drive. I mean, by the way, Trigby wasn't driving last night. I was driving last night.
No, but it was annoying me. Not your driving. Your driving was awesome. You got a pickup truck and are going around people who are driving 20 miles an hour down a 55 mile an hour. It wasn't that slippery. There were salt trucks out. Well, I don't know how slippery it was. I wasn't driving. It didn't seem that slippery.
The point is, come down to Dooley's tonight in Eau Claire and check it out. Well, we will buy you your first beverage.
Yes, we will.
Beverage and cheese curds
unless
down at Dooley's in downtown Eau Claire.
We recognize your vehicle as one of those that was driving 20 miles an hour on.
No, we'll still do it because we're nice guys. We're Wisconsin nice. It's one of the great
things. Actually, we still will.
We still will. And tomorrow we're going to be in Stevens Point and then downtown Stevens Point. And then on Friday, we're going to be in Green Bay and stop to 1919 Pub at Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's on Friday night.
That's like going to church. We're going to church a day early, a couple of days early.
Well, there you go.
We will have to get down and acknowledge St. Vincent.
Yes.
We will also need to go. Yeah. Can't believe I'm plugging the Packers when they haven't agreed to come on yet, but we're hoping.
We're hoping.
It is also the tent sale.
Yes, it's a big tent sale in Green Bay. If you're listening on WGBW in Green Bay or anywhere, I guess, in northeast Wisconsin, go on down to Lambeau Field on Friday. It is their kickoff to their big Packer Pro Shop tent sale. There's a big one. I used to do radio for.
I have a whole list of requests from my daughters of what they want. One wants chunky sweatpants, whatever that means.
Is that a thing?
It means oversized. I had to get a clarification. The other one wants a Jordan Love jersey, which I'm good with because Jordan Love's going to be around a long time. I look at that as like a 20-year investment. All we need is love. Anyway, Green Bay.
Green Bay on Friday. Yes.
Packers. Green Bay, which now there was big election news out of Green Bay, Todd. Do you know what that is?
No, I actually don't.
There was a race for the city council, and there the Democrats ended up beating a MAGA candidate, and it's now 7-5.
Well, great.
Towards the Democrats there.
I was.
Moderate Democrat running against a MAGA. But Donald Trump actually, well in Green Bay with his very small crowd size, and hands. He endorsed the guy who lost.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he hear any? I didn't get to catch up on Alex the Bruiser. The Bruiser.
That guy. I don't know.
Did Trump endorse him?
I don't know that, but he had a really crazy tweet, and I forget what it was about. Not the one about him getting to fly up, but he had another doozy.
Well, that's going to be an interesting race.
How can you go from Mike Gallagher to that? I can't imagine that the good people in the 8th Congressional District are just going to go that route.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Democrats are going to run, but we will know. We should have regular updates. We may have some real banger of congressional races. Yes. in the 8th, the 1st, and the 3rd all have the potential to have really competitive House races.
Which again, is going to, using your expertise in politics, if you have a competitive House race in that district, you could actually have the congressional candidate leading the presidential candidate in terms of output or outcome and excitement.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I mean, I think you can make the case that Tammy will be somebody texted me Trigby won't be ever running for governor because he could never win Osseo after he attacked the people there.
See, you should be attacking people.
The person who texts me, you know who you are. I would just like to say, I don't really care given how they were driving, if the people of Osseo won't vote for me. If they ban me from the Norske Nook, however, that would be the end of me.
The likelihood the people that were driving as we went through Osseo weren't actually from Osseo.
No, they're from Minnesota, I'm sure. But back to the more important thing. Yeah. I think Tammy Baldwin will outperform both Donald Trump and potentially Joe Biden.
You know who outperformed all of us today? Chancellor Jim Schmidt. There's a guy who's a cheerleader. Johnson. And Mike Johnson, the public school superintendent here in Eau Claire. We thank both of them for being our guests. Also, Pat Kreitlove, Up North News Radio, Trigvy Olson, Lincoln Project, Mr. Zommers, back at the world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. And also, above all of you for listening, for watching. We'll see you tomorrow from Stevens Point. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn, Todd Alball, for Trigvy Olson. Say whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.